Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number on joe@rt.ie. You've heard all the words: abhorrent, distressing, unacceptable, appalling, lots of hand-wringing inside it all, outside it all, lots of letter writing, no doubt, to the newspapers about what they saw on primetime last night. That is Shannonside Foods in Strafford, a very busy part of the country. People would know it, I presume, from the K Club. Shannonside Foods is on the River Morell, and the images that were shown of horses being cruelly treated, being beaten by a plastic flexible pipe, being prodded by pitchforks. Now, what can be done? Dervla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And Dervla, first of all, you should be congratulated because you are the one who alerted RTE to the story.
Yes, Joe. A couple of years ago, myself and a friend of mine who have a small part to play in the industry.
Okay.
But we noticed some irregularities with the passport system. And we also noticed a huge amount of horses that were disappearing. So
okay,
we decided to take it upon ourselves to delve a little bit deeper.
Well done.
And firstly, I'd just like to say we're not journalists and we're not investigators. We're just two normal people who have a huge love of horses.
Okay.
And we do have some small involvement in owning and loving our own horses.
Okay.
And we just felt that overall there's not enough respect for the horse and the horse has no voice. And we should have the belief and the confidence in the authorities and the government that they should respect the welfare of the horse and impose harsher and stricter penalties and prompt penalties to owners, trainers and dealers and anybody who seem to breach the rules of welfare. So the sad conclusion was that we noticed that so many horses were going missing. So we started to look to see where they were going, and we submitted questions to the Oireachtas to get the slaughter figures, and we noticed some irregularities in the figures that were being given. So then we started to look in welfare groups across Europe and even as far as America to see who was buying these horses, who they were ending up with.
Okay.
And fortunately, we were able to make contact with some of the new owners. And we discovered that a huge amount of the horses were arriving overseas in horrendous conditions. And then when they would be purchased from dealerships overseas, the new owners were trying to trace the, you know, what yards these horses had come from and what care could be given from the previous owners and trainers in helping with the rehoming. So I took it upon myself to contact a huge amount of trainers and previous owners. Some, I will say, were excellent.
Okay.
They gave me the information that I asked for. They told me the feeds the horses had been on, the care, any previous injuries, etc. But some of them, they didn't want to know. So I then told some of them the condition that these horses had turned up in. Why were they there? One trainer in particular, who I will not name, was excellent. Straight away admitted, had made a huge mistake, would never do the same again, was horrified when I was able to provide them with photographs that the horse had been sold on in, and gave me their word that they would never, ever trade the horse again to a dealer and that they would only do home euthanasia should that situation arise, and they would work with the authorities for future rehoming.
Okay.
So that was all great. But then we discovered that there was so much more that wasn't being done.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad conclusion came to us that why were two normal people like us the ones that discovered this? All this was there in front of the authorities for years. And if two people on the fringes of the industry could hear all these rumours that were circulating for years and about the horrendous waste, particularly in big yards, it defies belief that the authorities, with so many of them with their feet on the ground and in the heart of the industry, failed to hear or see what was unfolding.
And when... Okay, well, we know there's only one slaughterhouse for horses in Ireland. It's in Strafford. It's run by Shannon Side Foods. Were you aware of that slaughterhouse?
I was. We didn't really delve towards the slaughterhouse. We were more looking at to see the rehoming, what conditions the horses were being transported in, where were they going, why were the authorities allowing so many to be shipped. Then we noticed the whole issue about the lifetime traceability, which is a huge, you know, it's a good example.
Okay, and in your just come back there to the point that you say you actually got, you managed to get questions asked in Dáil Éireann about this. What can you tell us the nature of your questions, please?
Constantly, I submitted questions asking for the slaughter figures and. The minister on several occasions gave different figures, which I kept notes on. Mm-hmm. And then I queried again and I said, why were the figures different? Because they weren't matching up.
Okay, what was not matching up?
The figures that he was asked on several occasions in the Dáil by a particular TD who I found most helpful.
Okay.
And the figures didn't match. So, for instance, one year he would say, maybe, I'm trying to find my notes, bear with me. He would say a figure, say, of 1,050. And then a couple of months later, he'd be asked for previous years. And the figure wasn't matching. And I was thinking, like, this is the Minister of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Surely he should have these figures in front of him. They should add up year on year. But they weren't adding up. And I found that astounding.
And you were asking how many? You were asking how many live horses were being exported?
I was asking the slaughter figures in Ireland.
Oh, the slaughter figures in Ireland. Okay.
And his figures weren't adding up. And then when you look at the amount of horses that are born each year,
mm-hmm.
the amount that he says are slaughtered in Ireland, and then how many. The authorities were asked before, the head of welfare was asked live on RTE radio before, could he give the figures of the amount of horses that died in training yards? And he said no. Now, bear in mind, this is the head of welfare from Horse Racing Ireland, and he stated live on the radio that he didn't know. They didn't hold those figures. Well, why don't they hold those figures, Joe? Look at the money that is given each year to the horse racing industry. Millions. I think it's over 1.3, 1.4 billion since 2000. And they don't have a system where they keep the numbers of the numbers of horses that have died in training yards. That is astounding, Joe.
Okay, hang on a sec there, Dervla, will you? I'll go to Dennis McGrath and I'll come back to you in a sec. Because Horse Racing Ireland, as you know, they were on Morning Ireland. They said they are truly appalled by what they saw last night. But you're saying you raised this issue with the Department of Agriculture. Who are the powerful people here? There's no point in talking about, in one sense, about trainers or HRI or whatever. The power resides with the state, with the Department of Agriculture. That's why we pay them. And Dervla, what do you think should happen now?
I think definitely everybody needs to be called into question, and the Oireachtas Committee need to have everybody in there to answer. And I think.
But what's going on? Hang on, Dervla, what is going on in Strafford today?
Well, wouldn't we all love to know, Joe?
Well, the pictures last night paint a thousand words. You know, ill treatment of dying horses, horses being whipped and struck with long lengths of plastic piping, including being hit around the head. A horse's film struggling for hours before it fell, tried to get up many times. The only tension the horse got was the illegal use of a pitchfork in its side. You saw other horses being beaten into this, I presume, which is this container, so to speak, where it was going to be euthanized. Horses struggling. So let's not mince words here. This is pretty important, and we're not blaming trainers, or we're not blaming Horse Racing Ireland, but people want something done about it, apart from hand wringing, because we know where the plant is. This is different on this occasion. We know where the plant is. It is in full view down in Strathan, a very busy. I can't believe people in Strathan did anyone ever spot anything? It took two people who had a love of horses to go through. I know this is about mistreatment of horses in abattoirs. I didn't say anything else. This is about mistreatment of horses in this lair. It's not in an abattoir. It's in this lairage facility beside it. But the fact is that this plant, as far as we know, is still open. The department, the minister was asked, and 2 hours ago in the Dáil, is this plant still operational today? Is this lairage, this area, which he says it's not within their purview, it's in the complex, but it's not within their legal purview, but is this lairage still an operation? Is these other charges that were made in prime time, about which is part of what you discovered, Dervla, in fairness to you and your friend, about microchipping of horses and double microchipping of horses and duplicitous microchipping of horses, that's a crime, given that microchipping is in the statute books. Dennis McGrath, apart from hand-wringing, what do you think people should do?
Good afternoon, Joe. Like that lady said, and everybody has commented on, I watched the programme last night, and to say I was appalled and disgusted would be an understatement.
Which is what everyone is saying. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, we need to, first and foremost, that plant down in Strathan needs to be closed immediately. Whoever holds a licence for whatever they're doing, that needs to be revoked. Mm-hmm. The people who were shown on the television last night carrying on with those horses should basically face the rigors of the law, and they should end up in front of the judicial system and pay that penalty that they deserve to pay for something, for scenes that I find completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying the power resides with the Department of Agriculture. They're the ones that give out the licence. They're the ones who have, now be very clear about this, they're the ones who have inspectors in the slaughterhouse. They don't have inspectors in the lairage, and they've no power, I presume, to go into the lairage, which is where this mistreatment was filmed. But there's loads of other angles in this story.
Joe, can I just add, the state of the place, the state of the state of conditions that those horses were placed under, leaving aside the carry on of those idiots who carried on like that, the actual appalling state of the premises has to be called into question. How can you have a vet from, you know?
Okay, hang on. The vet from the Department of Agriculture has no jurisdiction, as we were told, over that lairage. OK, so I don't want anyone named in that respect. Linda, I'll come back to you in a sec, Dennis. But you're saying the department has the power, revoke the licence today or suspend the licence. Suspend all activity. Suspend all activity in that complex today.
Correct.
OK. Well, the other thing I want to know is, Dennis, well, but Linda Green is there. I'll come to you in a sec, Linda. Joe at rt.ie, 51551. Dennis, where are all the animal rights activists? This place is in full view. We're not being told that an unknown, which is normal what we get, and it's the way legally they have to do it, at an unknown location, which you cannot divulge. But this location is in full and open view. Linda Green, yes. Linda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe, yes.
Well, you're going to tell me it's awful. We all know that. What can be done about it? I'm not being... Well, what can be done about it? We know where it is. People live beside this. I presume people drive past it. It's a big complex. I presume people get a smell off it. So what can be done, Linda?
I'm not sure what can be done, but I'm hoping that something can be done, Joe, because like all your other callers there, I'm only after joining here now, sorry.
Yeah.
All your other callers, I was absolutely...
Appalled.
Just... appalled by everything that I saw last night. And I think everyone that was on in that vicinity last, or when that was shown, should be banned from ever going near animals ever again.
Well, they'd
have
to go through the rigours of the process. But maybe some of them that were in full view in that TV programme last night, and they're up on the player, and it's been the footage apparently has been with the department for over a month. It's been promoed for a number of weeks, so we knew what was coming. We knew where it was. They said, Connor said, right from the get-go, it's a place called Shannonside Foods in Strafford in County Kildare. It's not on Rathlin Island in the middle of nowhere that no one could go down and have a go at or stand outside and see what's going in and out just as a concerned citizen. Let me bring in John Fitzgerald, who's been involved in animal rights for years. I think you're, is it what spokes the campaign against cruel sports? John, what, apart from writing another letter to the paper, which is what you do every day anyway, in fairness to you, and you have at least once, twice a week, your letters appear in national newspapers. Apart from doing writing letters, what can animal rights activists do? You're the ones who pick at hair coursing meetings.
Absolutely, and I have to admit that I was taken by surprise, even though I've been hearing rumours over the years about adverse conditions in horse slaughterhouses and in the one meant in the one.
There is only this is the thing. There is only there is yeah. on. It's a terrible line. There is only one slaughterhouse in Ireland.
There is indeed, and actually, even since last night, I've been talking to various groups, and I think some people may be planning to picket the venue in the coming weeks. But actually, the group I represent would be calling for the immediate closure of that
everyone,
particular store.
Yeah, but everyone is saying that.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd also be calling for is a withdrawal of the subsidies to the entire.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, but John, hang on. You know as well as I know that is a much wider and a much bigger debate, and you ain't going to sort it out here today. The question I'm asking you is, as a well-known and persistent and consistent animal rights activist, and you know all the animal. I'm not advocating, but the picket is a peaceful protest. There's no harm in that. But what do you think should be done about this facility that is in full view? It's about 40 minutes from where I'm sitting in a very populated part of the country called Strafford in County Kildare, just over the border. What should be done?
I believe it should be closed down immediately because of what we've seen. Like, I mean, the malpractice is on such a scale that I think regulation, you know, is kind of meaningless at this stage. And I think it needs to close now. And even people who maybe don't feel very fond of animals or not tuned into the whole animal welfare.
Well,
everyone
is fond of animals.
But this particular issue, you know.
Okay, Dervla.
Joe, can I just cut in there for a second?
Yeah, of course you can.
I just want to make a point that a huge issue within the industry is that when somebody does call out welfare issues, they're immediately deemed to be anti-racing or anti-industry. Yeah. And that is simply not true. Those within the industry must stand up and call out the welfare issues. But on the point of the slaughterhouse, in the paperwork, in the laws that are there from the Agriculture and Food Development Authority, it covers the facilities and the resources and the handling and the facilities in the large. So it's quite extraordinary that somebody came out and said that it's not under their remit, because it's there in section 5811 that large facilities shall be designed and constructed as to facilitate the inspection of the animals. So it's not up to us, the people within that are calling out. This is a departmental problem.
Okay, and Dervla, maybe you can, if you haven't got your paperwork to hand, do it over the break, if you can. I want to talk to you after the break. Is when you raised or got the TD to ask these very serious questions of the Department of Agriculture, who were their hands are up in the air today saying, oh my God, this is shocking. You say you've raised questions about the number of horses in this slaughterhouse before. We'll try and get the exact dates off you after this break. joe@rt.ie.
Okay.
Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The place is called Shannonside Foods. Its address, as far as I can find a website this morning, but I could find an address. Well, the closest address was River Morell, Strafford, County Kildare. Now, down there at the moment is Chris Farrell. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Tell us, where is Shannonside Foods? Say people who know the K Club or know that area.
Yeah, it's in Turlington, Strafford, which is about 2 miles from centre of Strathan village.
Okay.
On the southern side of Strathan.
And is it in? Can you see it from the road or the motorway?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't see it from the motorway. You can see it from the road.
Okay. Is there a sign up saying Shannon Side Foods?
Oh, a big sign at the end of the scale saying Shannon Side Foods, quality Irish meats.
Is the word horse up there anywhere?
I don't think so. It just says Shannon Side Foods, quality Irish meats. I don't think it says horse per se.
Okay. Now, you live beside it.
Yeah.
And you've complained, you say, multiple times. Going back how long, Chris?
Well, not me personally, multiple times, but I know a lot of the neighbours here have complained over the years, going back many, many years to the, you know, the SPCA, the Kildare and Wicklow SPCA, the Department of Agriculture and Ace complained to them as well, and you never seem to get any follow-up on it at all.
And do you know the nature of the complaints, Chris?
Well, to do with the condition of the horses generally, I mean, you know, we've got a paddock field behind us here, and we've, at times, seen horses in it that wouldn't be in good condition. You know, there was a horse a few years ago, we saw a horse there, and obviously the horse hardly able to walk. You know, horses that are obviously undernourished, and, you know, their coats looking very ragged and, you know, unkempt generally.
Okay, so it's not, you weren't complaining, well, maybe people, there wasn't, you know, the whole phrase O'Keefe's the Knacker's Yard, which it was called, that's their use of that was the sign on it. Up in New Street, the Liberties in Dublin, people used to always complain about the smell, the horrific smell. Is there a smell from the abattoir?
No, I'm not aware of any smell.
Okay, because the meat isn't rendered as such, it isn't boiled down, which was happening. That's when the smell emanates. But you're saying people in Strathan, where you live, have been complaining for a number of years about the condition of the horses that were involved with you.
Yeah, on and off. I mean, that's not a regular.
Yeah, of course.
The reason I rang Joe was because I got the impression, what you said earlier, that the abattoir was in full view of people in Strathan.
Okay.
And the impression I got was that nobody took any notice or didn't complain about it. They were turning a blind eye, which isn't the case because
I know
neighbours around here. I know individuals who have actually complained.
And you know,
they're not getting any feedback.
And it seems, Chris, from what you say, that they've complained to the right authorities, the Department of Agriculture. And what was do you know what response these good citizens got?
Well, as I said, they were told from what I can remember that they, you know, they would certainly follow up on it. They, you know, they may have followed up. I don't know, but what consequences ensued from this? You know, there's definitely nothing obvious because things just seem to continue as normal. Now, I mean, there's regularly lots of horses in the field in front of the abattoir and in the abattoir grounds itself, and a lot of horses would look to be racehorse type horses.
Well,
you know,
something like 65% that end up in Strathan are thoroughbred racehorses. And by the way, Chris, is the place busy? Do you see a lot of trucks coming and going? Or a lot of cars?
One of my neighbours would regularly see trucks coming in at during the night. Yeah. Coming and going during the night time. There are days when it's very busy. I mean, I think on Wednesdays, as far as I know, sometimes they do the killing or whatever, and you could see, I mean, I walk the dog in the morning time, and I've often seen 12, 15 cars outside the place. So it's obviously busy on the days when the slaughter happens, you know. But then other days, you wouldn't see any traffic around the place. You know, you would see the horses out in the field.
Apparently, Wednesday is slaughter day.
Yeah, that would be consistent with what I would see, from walking around.
Obviously, they didn't show how the horses were slaughtered, but I presume...
No.
I don't know. How are horses slaughtered? Are they electrocuted? Are they
injected? I think they shoot them, or they shoot the
same,
shoot them
same
sort of bolt
cattle,
in their head or something, back of the head I think, yeah. I don't know. It's something I've never seen. Obviously, I haven't been inside the grounds of the abattoir, so I don't know what's going on inside.
Obviously, I don't want any names, Chris, but do you know anyone who works there?
I don't know.
You know the way if
you
might say, well, hang on, it's a big employer. It's a good. I'm sure it is a good employer. Can you see any horses there in the last day or two, Chris?
Oh yeah. I saw them this morning. There's a horse. There's a field in front of the abattoir, in front of Turning's house. There's about, I'd say, 15, 20 horses in that. And there's another bigger field, and I saw there's about 4 or 5 grey horses in it, and a few other ones as well. So there's about a dozen horses. So there's about 20. 30 horses around at the moment.
Okay, and John Fitzgerald of is an animal rights campaigner and the Organisation Against Cruel Sports. He said they are going to organise a picket. Is there anyone at the gate at the moment of Shannonside Foods?
Well, I don't know just now, but I mean, there wasn't earlier this morning, certainly. Okay. I haven't been down to the road.
Any journalists, any activity at all?
No, it's not that I've noticed, no.
Okay.
No, I can't see.
I understand that. I understand.
Just around the corner from
Now, have you managed to look at the footage from Primetime Investigates?
Oh, I did. I watched it last night. Obviously, very interested in it when I heard what was going to be filmed, you know.
And what did you think?
People were totally appalled by what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, very, very upsetting to see that.
And you recognised Shannonside Foods immediately, I presume.
I do. Oh, I did. Yeah,
recognise the location. Because there is only one horse abattoir in the country.
Yeah, that's true. Because I mean, it's quite upsetting. Because I mean, I know the history of the place. It was set up in the 1960s.
Okay.
By a relation of my wife to prevent the export of live horses to France and Belgium.
Okay.
And it was set up from a humane point of view to stop horses being exported live.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's in a situation where obviously horses are badly treated, which wasn't the purpose of setting it up at all.
Yeah, and then we saw Conor travelling across Europe and the way the horses were being treated at various so-called resting points or whatever. And this is what they're, in fairness to her, I asked her a question, I don't know if she's still there, about when she put the questions to the minister, what year, and we'll get that information in a sec. But she said she's been asking these questions for a number of years about this abattoir, and many horses were being slaughtered. And then she'd walk backwards and she'd say, where are all the other horses gone? That was her. It was the hound of the Baskervilles. It was the dog that didn't bark. Where are all the other horses gone? Horses that we love. Stay with us, Chris, if you can. Stay with us, Chris, please.
That was a bit of a revelation to me, because I was only aware of the problem with the horse habit myself. And obviously, our concern really is not the killing of horses, but I mean the humane treatment of horses.
That's the bottom line, the world we live in. We know horses are killed and euthanized, but it's the basic treatment. Stay with us, Chris. Richie McCarthy. Yeah. You're a cattle farmer, Richie.
Hey, Joe. Down here in Limerick. Like everyone's been saying, it was absolutely appalling what went on last night. But what you're missing there is, Joe, you've said it there to your previous caller. You mentioned it, that the slaughter is only on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the reporter last night that put the whole thing together, he said that all that preparation in the lairage was going on the days leading up to the slaughter.
Okay.
So you're saying the vets have no access to that shed, that's correct, but on the day of slaughter there would be nothing going on inside in that shed as far as I can see. All that stuff would have been done the day before, because, you know, if there was a veterinary inspector on site and heard all that commotion, you can be sure they're going to take a stroll in there, you know.
And Richie, what's a lairage?
It's a holding area, basically. It's a shade. It can be, a field, a shade.
Okay.
It's a holding area before transportation or before slaughter, of animals.
And how, pardon the difficulty of this question, Richie, and I'm not that naive, but how are horses slaughtered? Are they stunned?
I personally haven't been in a horse slaughterhouse, but if you see last night at the very, very end of the show, the horse got a bolt to the head.
Yeah.
And the next thing you will see, if you want me to keep going, I can tell you.
Please do. We're talking about it now for 30 minutes. People know, if they don't want to listen to this detail, they're long gone, and that's their choice. And if they don't want to hear this, we have to hear what's happening. So what happens next? A bolt to the head.
So pretty much in cattle circumstances, it's a bolt to the head, and that pretty much renders them unconscious. They'd be on the ground, in there's a chain put onto one of their legs.
Yeah,
they're lifted up and pretty much their throat is cut and they bleed out, and then they go on for processing. I presume it's the very same way with horses, as far as I could see. Mm. Up to that point last night, it was the very same. And anyway, it's a ball to the head, and it's not pretty, but that's how it is. It's the world we live in. Another thing, Joe, the department can shut a man like me down, a farmer, at the click of a mouse. for anything that gone wrong, like, you know, a disease outbreak, or if I was seen to be mistreating animals, I can be shut down to click my mouse. How they can shut these guys down, these two, is it Fitzpatrick's?
Well, their name was, they were named as well, yeah, the Fitzpatrick's.
Well, they're
family.
The guys that own it.
Yes, yes.
They're the guys that own it. Yeah, they should be tied together and bait with those.
No, well, they don't, you don't say that. But watch, like, it's also open to the owners of Shannonside Foods to say we will suspend operations until the department have completed their investigation. That's open. It's open to them to say it as well. That's all they have to do.
Why haven't the department closed them down if they have this information for the last month?
Yeah, well,
you know, like they can shut anyone down at the click of a mouse from trading. Why can't these guys be shut down? They knew this was coming out last night. I presume
they did that. Yeah,
we're showing the whole thing.
Well, if you were watching RTÉ in the last 10 days, you would have seen promos for it. And Shannonside Foods were mentioned.
The conditions there were horrendous. The floor in the lairage was not suitable for horses. I know nothing about horses, but I do know they're walking around with steel shoes on them.
Yeah.
Them floors were covered in urine and feces.
You saw them slipping and falling.
It was a pure disgrace. And they were trying to get them into that chute to read their microchips.
Okay.
They were all bloody numpties around them. If you funnel cattle or horses into a chute, they'll walk in there for you. They had no funnel set up. If you show them daylight... Well,
Were they being beaten in with that big paddle or whatever you call it?
Because cattle do not like, or horses don't like going into confined spaces.
Yeah, of course,
but if you funnel them in and show them daylight at the far end, they will walk in themselves.
Okay.
Because they want to get away from you. But if they can't see a way out, they just want to turn back against you.
That's true. What do you think should happen today?
Close them down. Just close them down. Lock the gates. Get them out. Close them down. Remove every animal there. Close them down.
And do you think, as John Fitzgerald said, they're going to try and organise a picket at the gate of animal rights, animal lovers? Well, everyone's an animal lover. Do you think that will make a difference?
They shouldn't have to go that far, Joy. Should we just close down? There shouldn't have to be a picket there. As I say,
but it's still open. But Richie, you have the minister who has the power, who has the department. But a lot of people argue it's the civil servants who have the power. But the minister saying this is unacceptable. That's his words. But if it's unacceptable, how come it's still open?
Exactly. Why can't he ring one of his merry men and get them to close it down straight away? The same as they would do with any other farmer.
Okay,
the only place in the country for slaughtering horses, but that doesn't mean they can leave it open when animals are being mistreated like that.
But the ward isn't going to come to a standstill, is it, if there's no horses slaughtered in the next
month? It's not.
Stay with us, Richie, if you can. Joe at rt.ie51551. Dervla, did you manage to track down when you first asked these dog questions about that specific abattoir?
Yes, Joe, I did.
Tell us.
In 2021.
Wow.
The minister was asked by a PQ to give the slaughter figures, and he stated that the figure for 2020 was 1,549. He was asked the exact same question on the 11th of September 2023, and he gave a different figure of 1,497. He was asked again on the 12th of May, 2022. Mm-hmm. Again, the figures didn't add up. And the most recent one, because when I sat down and looked at all the figures, on the 26th of September, 2023, he was asked for the Minister of Agriculture, Food and Marine to provide clarity in relation to the discrepancies found in the figures provided by him in relation to thoroughbred slaughter figures in Ireland, and if he will confirm the reason for the differences in the figures, and if he will make a statement on the matter. So each time he was asked to provide the figures, a different figure was given. He's the head of the department. The figures should add up.
Yeah, but Charlie McConnell, who has been, he's been Minister for Agriculture since 2020, we can't expect him to go down to Strafford and with a counter and start counting the horses. But he's given the answers, and a lot of work has gone into this. He's given the answers by his civil servants, and I presume they're being told in turn. But you're saying as far back as 2021, you had questions put down to the minister, the current minister, Charlie McConnellogue, about this particular facility.
No, not about this particular facility. He was asked to give the figures for thoroughbred slaughter.
Yeah, but there is only one slaughterhouse in Ireland.
Well, yes, if you'd like to put it that way.
Yeah.
But he was also asked on June the 2nd, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my department does not have nor hold information on animals once they move outside of Ireland. Once they arrive in the importing country, they are subject to the relevant rules applying in those countries. That's not good enough.
Okay, Dervilis, stay with us. Richie, stay with us. Chris Farrell. Chris, if you had any way in the break of finding out, even by texting somebody, when people complained about Strafford, how far back does anyone locally in Strafford remember that they lodged a complaint specifically with the Department of Agriculture? Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm told we have to suspend discussion of Shannon Side Foods for the time being. Sharon Darcy, Sharon, WhatsApp. Carl is on WhatsApp in a sec, but and Sharon is his mother. I'll go to Carl first. Carl, good afternoon. You're well able to speak for yourself. You're 18 years of age. You're doing your Leaving Cert. Carl, what happened?
So you know how Leaving Cert is late night studying and you need like a quick snack. So I just put on a frozen pepperoni pizza. And I ate that and I was all fine and good. And then I wake up next morning at like 4:30 and my stomach felt like it was about to burst. It was in an excruciating amount of pain. And it was so bad I had to like wake my mom up just to get like help.
Okay.
It was super bad and that resulted in me vomiting quite a bit.
Yeah.
It
was a bad bout of food poisoning that came on you suddenly.
It was very sudden. It was very unexpected. And I had my exam on that day, so it was extremely stressful because I didn't know if I would be able to go in or not.
Okay, so you're sick at 4:30 in the morning, violently ill, as you say, vomiting, and I presume other issues as well. What exam was ahead of you in 4 hours hence?
It was history. I was doing my higher level paper.
Okay, a lot of writing, a lot of concentration. Okay,
So the
school was contacted.
Yep, my mom contacted the school to make them aware, and my mother asked if the school could contact somebody to see if I could get any sort of exemption. Yeah.
The State Examination Commission, they run the exams.
Yeah, the State Examination Commission, yep.
Okay, I'll go to your mother now, because Sharon, you rang the school.
I did, yeah, at about 8:15 in the morning.
And what did they say?
They were actually really good. They asked me, they advised me to kind of contact my doctor first and that they should be able to defer his exam for a later date if they needed kind of a doctor cert just to verify that he is sick and he's unfit for exams. So I brought him down at 10 o'clock, him assessed, got two doctor certs off him and they were no good. So we still had to go in and sit the examination, unfortunately, that afternoon.
Oh, he had to go in and sit it. Okay.
He had to go in because it's only under exceptional circumstances, as in a death in the family or hospitalisation. If I had brought him to the hospital and I was given a consultant's letter instead of a doctor's cert, he would have been exempt from the exam for that particular day, possibly today, and then deferred to a later date in July.
So basically, and it's not your fault, it's not Carol's fault either. Basically, you're saying instead of going to the GP, if you had gone to your nearest A&E, which are busy anyway, and they tell you know all the warnings we get about please only come as a last resort, you're saying you would have had to go to an A&E and get a cert signed by a consultant.
Yeah, a consultant. Yeah. And not a doctor cert, it meant nothing, and it meant absolutely nothing. And gastroenteritis is the same as food poisoning. The symptoms are exactly the same. And that's actually one of the conditions which is not considered as an emergency and to be deferred for exams. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Okay, Carl, what did you do? You went, you had to go to the school. Come back in, Carl.
Yep, my brother's girlfriend drove us in, and I sat the exam, and I immediately felt extremely sort of disconnected with myself, just considering that I was just focusing on trying not to vomit. Okay. I sat down, and for most of my exam, to be honest, I was just taking like every five minutes, I was just taking like a couple minute breaks just to focus on my breathing and just trying not to vomit. I felt like I needed to leave the classroom, but I ended up actually leaving the classroom once or twice.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was just a terrible situation because, like, because of this one exam, it's forever hindered my future, you know? And because of something that's out of my control, it means that now the quality of my future is hindered because of that, and with no rectification at all.
Okay, and were you allowed, did you get extra time? Were you allowed to sit near a window or a toilet? Or?
No, as far as I'm aware, I wasn't given any sort of extra time. They said I'm allowed to leave for the toilet if I asked, but no, I wasn't given any additional time from what I'm aware.
Okay. But did you manage to do the exam? Make a good.
Well, to be honest, I didn't even finish my exam.
Oh, did you?
Because you know, no, because with history, it's just it's long form questions.
Well, I know
it's about
they are, yeah.
It's 3 years of continuous study in your leaving cycle to answer this one really long question, and because I need to formulate like a lot of different paragraphs containing multiple different points, it was very hard to stay concentrated, and it was extremely hard to just do my best. And I firmly believe I didn't get nearly the result I would have gotten, because history is my strongest subject. I love history. I've always gotten 60s and 70s in my history, and I'm always pretty happy with my results. But even in my mocks, I did extremely well. But with this, I really feel like I don't even know if I passed in all honesty.
Now, the State Examinations Commission tell us there is a deferral dates for the Leaving Cert at the end of July for people who... But the list they give us is pretty specific, Sharon, as to, as you said, as to why. That is the death of a close relative, a psychiatric admission. It's a hospital. I presume admission to hospital does apply as well. Is there any in that list that you saw from the State Examinations Commission? Is there any way your Carl could sit a deferral?
Only if he was attended to hospital, if he was admitted to hospital and was seen and kept overnight, I suppose. But other than that, no, because when the school contacted the board again, after I was back in touch with them, they told them, no, you'll still have to either come in and sit the examination or you'll have to forfeit it because it's not covered on it. And they were told, well, he has doctor certs. And they said, no, they won't accept doctor certs, which is disgraceful. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, things happen unexpectedly. Nobody has any idea when anybody in this world is going to get sick. And for an examination like this and the stress already on top of their shoulders, and then for one situation to happen and can just totally, totally, you know, derail his exams is absolutely disgraceful. Something needs to be done about it. Like, can they not just...
Well, they say, just from the State Examinations Commission, they say an alternative set of Leaving Cert examinations will be run in 2024 after the main set, which is now finishing next few days, to cater for students who, for reasons such as the death of a close family member, they don't specify who that would include, a serious accident, injury or illness. Now, does the serious word, serious accident, injury or illness, does that mean a serious illness, are unable to sit the first set of papers, and the dates for the deferral are from Wednesday, the 26th of June, which is yesterday fortnight, till Saturday, the 13th of July, inclusive. And that applies. But, for example, they have listed serious illness, which can lead to deferral, would be cancer, cardiac conditions. Examples of conditions which will not be considered: gastroenteritis, which is a form of stomach as well, migraines. Migraines are so cruel. This is what will give you an exempt. Major surgery, and that would include non-elective major surgery, a transplant, obviously, which you can't predict, getting your appendix out, and examples which will not be considered for a deferral is any elective surgery. Okay, severe disease or severe condition event or an episode that includes sepsis, really serious, epilepsy, an epileptic attack, obviously can't be predicted, Crohn's disease, severe asthma attack. This is the caveat, resulting in hospitalisation. Examples of conditions which will not be considered, bronchitis, mild asthma or hay fever. Other severe or permanent injury occurring at the time of the exam. Examples of conditions which will be considered, break of bones, breaking bone, bones break requiring hospitalisation at the time of the examination, brain injury, amputation or spinal injury. Examples of conditions which will not be considered for deferral, sprains, minor burns, tendon damage, bone breakages, which can be accommodated within the existing provisions of the RACE scheme, providing access. In other words, if they can give you a recording device or a scribe to write for you, you will have to sit the paper. And then psychiatric illness, rightly so, areas which will be considered for deferral, life-threatening mental health episode or detention in a hospital. Examples of conditions which will not be considered for a deferral are stress, anxiety and non-medical trauma. Okay, well, they do go into detail, but anyway. Carl, all you can do is fingers crossed and hope. And what are you hoping to do after your leaving certificate?
I'm hoping to do acting, stage acting and film acting. So hopefully I can get the course that I want.
Okay. And where do you do acting? Mm. The Lear Academy or?
Well, I want to go into TUD, but I have done training in the Gaiety School of Acting.
Oh, well done. As I had myself back in the day. TUD, which is Technical University Dublin.
Yeah.
Okay. And what points do you need for that? Do you know, Carl?
I need 367 points. Okay. And consider the fact that both exams that I've sat today and yesterday were my higher level exams.
Okay.
So ordinary only gets you up to 56 points, while higher level can give you the full 100. And because both of my exams that I did whilst in this condition was higher level, my chance of getting more points is severely hindered compared to doing ordinary level.
Okay.
Which is even more cause for concern.
I take your point. Yeah, it's been part of the point. I do. If your best papers, your best subjects are obviously the ones you have, you do at higher level, and also they get you the premium of points, which could have seen you over the line. Fingers crossed. Yeah. But it's a very important issue you've raised. And that whole thing of, again, if Sharon and Carl had gone to the local A&E. Even though we're told to only go to the A&E if it's a very, very serious illness. Now, I know the catch-22 here, but that's what you're told. If you had gone to the A&E and got a consultant to say, listen, he's in no condition to sit an exam, which I think most consultants would be able to. By the way, I think most consultants would be able to detect pretty quickly if you're a chancer, which you're not, obviously, you're chancing your arm or whatever, so... Anyway, let's see what develops. How many more exams have you got, Carl?
I've got two more exams. I've got one the following Tuesday and then Thursday, and then thankfully I'm done afterwards.
Okay, and fingers crossed. Stay cool, act cool, act calm, Carl.
And I'll try my best. Thank you very much.
And act that you're in control. And the next time I want to hear from you, Carl, is when you're on the red carpet at the BAFTAs for your role.
When I get an Oscar, I'll make sure to mention it.
Okay, Carl, you mind yourself.
Thanks, Lee.
And Sharon, the two of you, look after each other. That's Carl Harmon and Sharon Darcy, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Declan Larkin is in Castleknock. You're a butcher, Declan. Your point, please.
Yes. I'm the next butcher.
Okay.
Just unbelievable. Like, the vets in Ireland are top of the range.
Yeah.
We had a place in Thomas Street where the Vicar Street was. Okay. And we only killed twice a week.
Right.
And they came in, they checked them in the slaughterhouse, checked them in the shop. And I don't know, that should have been locked down years ago, ages ago.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how long that was done. But the way telling that the vets are good, so there must have been, you know, not
and why saying much. Why do you have, Declan, explain that to me, you have specific days for slaughtering. Why is
no,
that?
No, for me, for us was Tuesday and Wednesday, because Monday we're doing orders, delivery and serving. Like, we were customers, and then we had restaurants, we did everything. Do you know what I mean? We were mm-hmm. looking after the restaurants. And that's our specific day at that time was Tuesdays, because we're inside in Dublin, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And then we had to move, and which they gave us time, and we went down to Trim in County Meath, Coogans,
okay.
which was a great man.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he let us kill our cattle, our lambs, and they brought them up then. We didn't have to go down to collect them.
Okay.
We went down and we saw them there. The vets would mark them and they put them there. That's Larkin's 10 cattle and
okay.
20 lambs. And we did, I have to go to other butchers. That, if you don't mind me saying, just the two butchers that I go to.
Yeah.
I go to John Hart's in Roscommon.
Okay.
And Nolan's in Kill for spring lamb. Because I can't get it anywhere okay. in Dublin. And I love spring lamb at Easter.
Okay.
You know, and if you
yeah, as a lot of people do,
want
yeah.
anything, you have my yeah. number, bring me and okay. I'll get you okay. the nicest lamb you ever had.
Okay.
I tell you.
But Declan,
honest to God,
but Declan people will remember,
yeah.
well, the likes of you and me remember, there used to be city farms in Dublin. There used to
that's
be
right,
piggeries. Do they still
yeah.
exist?
No, not now. They
okay.
used to, and then they went out to up the mountains. You know, there was Jim Barry. That's it. And they're going back ages ago. And he used to be a pig man, but they were out in up like in you know that place up in Kilmana.
Okay.
So, like that was the country. But we had a little. We had a farm after my dad. He was there in 1947. I was born in 59. But that's all I knew, Joe.
Okay.
Taught me everything.
Okay.
And, like, even to, like, I know we were, it's all humane and the lambs, but last night upset me awful.
Yeah,
and I love horses.
Everyone, yeah. Yeah, everyone.
And
does.
Then, the remember, like, the calves going over. Oh, I tell you. Well, thanks be to God. Only here in Ireland. And I have great, if I go out for a meal, I've anywhere that there wouldn't be anything in Ireland about that. I know they're going over. There's a
we don't eat horse meat.
License. Yeah, no, but there'd be a license, say, to France or whatever. But that place, if you don't mind me, and I won't say, that place was disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Okay.
I tell you, that should have been knocked down.
Okay.
Getting in, and hopefully it is going to be knocked down, and let them rehabilitate
well,
the horses.
If there's one message coming through on live line for the last, well, not morning, but the last 45 minutes,
yeah.
An hour now we're on the last hour is people
right.
are saying why can't the government act? That's what people are saying. Do something.
Yeah,
okay, Declan, I'm going to leave it at that in your case because I have a queue of people. Go to Mila Mahagut, Doug Loon. That's Declan Larkin in Castleknock. Bernie Foley, what do you intend when you say it's going to mean more hardship for the horses? What does that mean?
Yeah. So basically, I'm a horse owner, a one horse person. Do you know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And a sport horse. And at the end of its life, I take it to the vet,
okay.
and the vet puts it down. I pay the vet's bill,
okay.
and then the carcass has to go to the knackery service, and I pay the bill for that. So that's
okay.
two bills. Now, quite a lot of money. There's no problem me
okay.
doing that because I've one horse.
All right.
The problem is that people, you know, not private horse owners, other people, will use the abattoir. The problem is if the abattoir closes as a knee-jerk reaction, the unfortunate animals that are on their way to the abattoir all over Ireland will end up on a lorry going across countries for miles.
Yeah, but if the government were to, or the state or the department were to ask for the operations in that specific location to be suspended until the investigation is complete, surely the trucks can turn around and put the horses back into a field. That's not going to kill anyone,
is it? No, because at that point, people will have handed over their, you know, well, I don't know who these people are. We'd say they're dealers or people like that, intermediaries. They will hand over the horses. They don't give a tuppenny damn about them. They don't care about food and water. People like that. They actually get paid for the meat. So if you take a horse to the factory, they're worth a couple of hundred euro. People just go away with the money and they don't care about the rest of what happens.
Okay.
And that's the problem.
In your case, Bernie, how much does it cost between the vet and the rendering in the
horse? Well, it could cost near enough to 400 around. But I mean, they're wonderful that they do this.
But you've to pay 400 to have your horse put to sleep, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. And I think non-horsey people don't understand that there's a bill to be paid to make sure the horse comes to a humane end. In America, they closed all the abattoirs, and now horses travel to Canada and Mexico to factories.
Okay, but nobody's advocating to close. Well, people are disproved. They want everything suspended until people find out what's happening. Well, we know what's happening in the lair.
I agree. Until it's just that the animals will need to be looked after.
Yes. I'm sure there's loads of people, I'm farmers especially, who will let a horse sit in the... We're in the middle of the summer now, whatever you can call it today, but who will leave the horses sitting in the field for a few weeks and keep an eye on them. But anyway, let's find out. Bernie Foley, thanks indeed. Margaret O'Dwyer is in Carlow. Margaret, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I just want to come at this from a different perspective. I try not to be emotional. I have had ponies and horses for many years.
Okay.
Now, I was also involved in a racehorse syndicate.
Okay.
We set it up.
Okay.
So we had many, many happy days and loved the horse.
Okay.
When a horse finishes their training through injury or whatever.
Okay.
You know, I see the obligation beyond those registered owners, as well as the trainer, to make sure that horse, where it goes from there. They can't wash their hands of this, Joe. Our last horse that finished his training, big trainers, they're no good to them then, because they're not earning money, they're not attracting money. So they want them out of the yard. Let's be realistic. We were lucky. We had a small trainer who was very loving and caring, and we had a great relationship. But I actually worked with her to get our racehorse rehomed. He's now retired in Cornwall in England.
Mm-hmm.
I get regular photographs of him on the beach on his little hacks and out for hacks. He had a wonderful life. But that horse was registered in our name, so we can't wash our hands of our responsibility.
Okay.
Here. And I suppose that's the point.
And by the way, for you to send the horse to Cornwall on his holidays or to retirement home.
Retirement, yeah.
Do you have to pay?
Well, that subject never came up because the person that was taking him was happy to organise transport. And he's brilliant. He looks fantastic at 18 or 19 years of age now. But I suppose my point is.
And do you get photographs of?
I get photographs, Joe, on a regular basis. I got one the other day. Mm-hmm. The lady that has them has just had her first baby, but she still has Dan, and he's happy out and looks wonderful in retirement. So my point, I suppose, is, and people need to take it on board, it's not just the training yards that, yes, they want rid of them because they're not attracting money or fees, training fees. It's down to the owners, the people that were laughing, clapping, happy in the owner's area when the horse won. We treasure the days that he won races for us and the happiness and joy he brought us. So he deserves a retirement.
Okay.
To rehome them.
Yeah.
So everybody is accountable in all this. It would break my heart to think an animal that I had anything to do with and loved ended up in those conditions. And I'd say that's the case for most people in this country that love animals. I mean, it's appalling. They deserve that respect at the end and a dignified end. Okay. And I've had to have horses put down, Joe, through injury, but it was done at home, as the lady there beforehand said, and the bill, the vet bills were paid, and it was done humanely and no fear, hopefully, for them at the end.
Okay, okay. Thanks indeed, Margaret. Joe at RT.ie. By the way, John Cook, who, as you know, has been living in Castlebar non-stop since last Saturday morning, he just tweeted that on count 18, Padder Tobin has been eliminated. And Michelle Gildernew of Sinn Féin got an extra 20,692 of Chris McManus's vote. So, and Luke Ming Flanagan is just short of 3,000 off the quota. But Padder Tobin, according to John Cook's tweet, has just been eliminated. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
So in Midlands Northwest, Luke Ming Flanagan is getting near the quota. Nina Carberry, Barry Cowan and Maria Walsh are basically within a couple of hundred votes of each other, around 85,000, 86,000. Michelle Gildernew after Chris McManus. Michelle is on 74. Kieran Mullooly's on 73. Padder Tobin has just been eliminated. So, and then after that, he's on 56. And Lisa Chambers, Fianna Fáil, was on 60. So Padder is gone. His votes will be distributed. So it's basically a battle between Kieran Mullooly and Michelle Gildernew for that final seat, a nail biter. Henri Hunt, Henri, good afternoon. What's the problem?
Hello, Joe. The problem is, well, like anyone my age, I want to be able to drive.
Yeah.
And to do my lessons, I'm in a wheelchair myself, a powered wheelchair. I wouldn't have any upper body strength or anything like that. But see, the car, there's two types of cars. There's ones with electric hand controls and manual hand controls. I need electric.
Okay.
To be able to do my lessons, you have to go through the IWA to do it. And there was a car, there's cars in Sligo here where I am, and they're what you call manual hand controls, and I wouldn't be able to operate them. And I've been trying to do this since, like, well, when I was 20, I'd done my theory test, and I've been trying to get my lesson since then, and I haven't been able to. And there's a car up in Dublin that had electric hand controls, and I can't, and now it's broken down, and I can't really do anything.
And there's only one car in the country, Henry.
Yeah, with electric hand controls.
With electric, that's what I mean. That would be suitable for you to do the testing and to try, obviously, to train in.
Yeah. So, like, you can see my dilemma there. Like, you can't really do anything about, like, after the lessons, getting the car is easier enough. It's still a little bit harder. Like, Ireland wouldn't be, we're not the best country for that sort of thing. Even over in England, it's far better, but it's just like, I just want to be able to drive, simple as that, but I can't even do a lesson.
The Irish Wheelchair Association have sent us in a long statement. I'll just go down to it's a full page statement. I'll go down to the last paragraph. We completely agree with Henri in terms of people with disabilities in general coming up against barriers in society across transport, housing, accessibility. We just completed a campaign. We've 10 driving schools. We would like to ask Henri to keep talking to us and bear with us while we await this new vehicle. They're getting a new vehicle. From the vehicle was very old and unreliable. We had to, that car was gone. They got rid of it.
Yeah.
We had to retire the car without a replacement. It's taken us some time and to secure funding.
However, we have secured funding for and have purchased a replacement new drive from farm vehicle. We anticipate that we will have this new vehicle in place in 6 weeks, assuming that our no. Well, hopefully you're up top of that list to get at this car.
Like, see, like, even if there is a car, like, it's kind of a bit weird now that there's only one in the whole country. Know. Like there is ones in Sligo, like, but it's for it's like a, what they call a push and pull, which is manual. Like, you push to accelerate and pull to brake is basically it, and I wouldn't have concern for that at all.
And what about the more modern cars? I'm thinking especially of the e-cars that have a lot of the controls on the steering wheel. Like, you can accelerate, you can decelerate, but now you have to put it, I know you have to use your feet as well, but I'm thinking of the Teslas, and a lot of the modern e-cars are effectively, on a motorway at least, they're effectively self-driving. You can drive, not recommended now, you can drive with your arms crossed, and you're basically locked in with three car lengths behind the car in front of you. If that car accelerates or decelerates, you will do the same without moving. What exactly is your condition? Do you mind me asking, Henri?
Oh, it's Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Ah, okay. So like, that's your upper body strength?
Well, it's kind of like all of my body nearly. Oh, any muscle is affected by it. Like,
okay.
But it's like, it would be grand if there was another car, but like, you have to go up to Dublin, and like, when you're doing lessons, there are usually about 10 or more lessons. So you'd be, and that would be nearly once a week. Like,
And how do you get around now?
Well, I do have we have a passenger type one. Like, it'd be it's converted, so you can drive the chair into it, and you clamp down the chair and go places that way. And like, here where I am, there is a bus, but I wouldn't really be fond of using the bus too often now, to be honest.
Why is it difficult to use the bus?
Just not really difficult, but I'd prefer to have my own car, that kind of way. I think everyone has a preference when it comes to that, but I just prefer to be able to drive, like, to have my own vehicle to go to a place, and that's really it.
Okay. Henri, well, they, as I said, the Irish Wheelchair Association there in Clontarf from Dublin, they've said they've got a new car and it should be up and running within 6 weeks. They want you to keep in touch with them, so please do. Please do.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, and thank you so much for contacting us. And I'm sorry, you have enough challenges in your life, as people who have disabilities have enough challenges without... Without things like this, we need, and you know as well as I do, Henri, and you're echoing this, we need a lot more as a society to be conscious of people with differences. Good Amina Margaret, that's Henri Hunt. Okay, on credit, on sound, Chris O'Connor, broadcast coordinator Leon Dunn, producer Tara Lockery Grant, and Catherine Thomas is next.